Thank you for leading us in those songs this morning. So many of the songs are focusing on the cross. I couldn't help but think how appropriate it is as we were singing, and just the picture here of the cross underneath the words of those songs just really touched my heart this morning. And I'm so thankful that Jesus was willing to die on that cross, took my place, so that I can experience eternal life. But you know, it doesn't stop there. Jesus not only died on the cross for our salvation, he died that we can walk in a life of victory. Amen? Because of Jesus Christ, because he conquered the grave, as believers, we can walk in victory. Brother shared that when we go through stretching times is when we grow. And I would say amen to that. But you know, I found in my life that, you know, we all like mountaintop experiences. Everybody likes mountaintop experiences, amen? But you know what? It's in the valleys is where we grow. It's in the valleys is where God does his work in our hearts and in our lives. It's good to be together this morning, to share together as believers. It's always good to come to life and to worship with you. Dan, I will make this comment. I opened up the bulletin there this morning, and I saw the three birthdays, and I was curious if Mark's going to mention that, because he's right. You don't see many times three birthdays on the same day on a Sunday morning. And I looked across there, Dan, and I saw 47, and I'm like, is he 47, or was that the year he was born? But I thought a little bit, and I thought, okay, it must be the year he was born. But, well, it's a blessing to see the church grow. Amen. When I think back to life, a lot of memories of thinking back many years ago when Lester had the first service down at Life Ministries, being able to participate in that. But just to see how God has brought the different building material together to build his church, it's been exciting to see that. It's a blessing to see the church grow and to reach the point of needing more help on the leadership team. You know, calling leadership here is not new for you. It was, 2012, when Brother Irvin was called as a deacon in this fellowship, the first time that the church said, we need a deacon, and identified Brother Irvin, God through the church, in filling that role. And Brother Irvin has done a great job in serving as the deacon in this fellowship. And then just a few months back, in June, not that long ago, congregation went through the process of seeking God's face in a pastor. We need a pastor. We need a preacher. Somebody that's going to be able to preach the word with the people and to help pastor. And of course, Brother Galen was called to that role. So it feels, for me, it feels like we just got done talking about the biblical qualifications. We just got finished looking at 1 Timothy and reading that and trying to understand, God, what does your word say here as we think about qualifications for that role? And then, of course, I shared that message out of 1 Timothy on the biblical qualifications. And then Brother Elvin Ressler focused on the character of a godly leader. So again, we've just going through that process. And I guess my heart this morning, or my concern this morning, would be that we not just kind of, okay, coast through this process. That we say, you know what, it's not that long ago we did this. We kind of know what to expect here. And we can almost say, you know, kind of coast through the process, I guess. And it would be my heart that we not allow that to happen. That we very, very seriously think about, pray about, take this in a serious way. God, who do you want to serve on this team? What is your will for our congregation as we seek God's choice? You know, God is building his church. Amen. God is building his church. You know, Jesus' words, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I don't know about you, Mark, but I take great confidence in realizing that Jesus Christ is the builder. He says, I will build my church. He does the building. He uses various building materials within the body to accomplish his will. Maybe this would be a place to put a plug in for your camp out. I think the last 2 years, Brother Mark asked if I would share, and it didn't work in my schedule. So this time we planned ahead, and he said, Jay, how about 2014? You got me for the weekend. But in that, we're going to be focusing on the church and on the three sessions, the church as a body. What does that look like? The church as a building, and then also the church as a bride. So I will say that as I've been studying and as I've been looking at that topic, I'm excited about that. Well, Jesus said, I will build my church. He does the building. And isn't it amazing when we look down through history how God's plan is to use men? He does the building, but he uses men and women to build his church. You know, when I think about, do we want to say a risk that God took? That's probably not quite right politically or correct to say it that way. But if I would have been God, I said, you mean I'm going to put the future of the church on this 12 ragtag men, these disciples, and the church is going to carry on through them? That's what God chose to do. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. Amen. It's his power. He just uses clay vessels, cracked ones, broken ones at that, empowers for his will and his way. He does the building. Well, as we think about adding leadership, what should you as a congregation be thinking about as we begin this process of seeking God's choice? What should you as a congregation be looking for as we think about adding a deacon to the team? As I mentioned earlier, biblical qualifications are important, extremely important. God lays out in his word very clear the qualifications or characteristics that should be present in those in leadership. And I believe in 1 Timothy, there's like 18 qualifications listed there. And I would just encourage you that as you had your personal devotions, take that passage, read it again, study it, know what it says, meditate upon it, think, contemplate, and pray as we think about biblical qualifications. But what should a congregation be looking for? There's another, I would say, burden on my heart, and that would be this, that we get the right man for the right spot, that we get the right gifting for the position, that we get the right gifting for the position. I think sometimes what I see in church life, as I look across our circles, there's an announcement made in the church, maybe the bulletin over the pulpit, that we're going to be adding a pastor or a deacon to the team. The church looks around, and in this process, the church looks around and sees a brother who has gifts and a passion to serve God. So they say, well, you know what? The church's response is to ordain that person to that position regardless of his spiritual gifts. And I think it's a sincere desire from the church to recognize the giftings that are in the body. It's a sincere desire. And God's working in the life of a person. Let me just give you an example. God has called, maybe this announcement is made. It doesn't matter if it's a pastor, deacon. But announcement is made, we're going to be calling someone to a leadership role in the church. And maybe there's a brother in the church. Well, let's just put it this way. The church has said we want to find a pastor. We need a pastor, somebody who's going to put their arm around, walk with the people. And we're looking for a pastor. And those are the gifts that we're looking for. But what sometimes happens is the church looks around and they see this guy. Maybe he's an evangelist. That's his gift. And you see that he is out there. He has a passion to share the saving grace, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ with others. And he's actively out there as a gift as an evangelist, just trying to get people the message of Jesus Christ and getting them saved. Because that's his spiritual gift. That's what he does. That's who he is. But the church is looking for a pastor. They want to call a pastor a shepherd. We need more shepherds. But the church looks around. They see giftings. And they see a passion to serve God. And they say, let's ordain that brother as our pastor. But you see what happens. They stopped him from exercising his true spiritual gift and put him in a position that is not necessarily well suited. He's not a shepherd. He's an evangelist. You know what? And that brother, try as hard as he may to preach, to share messages, to pastor the flock, he is still going to preach the messages that God lays on his heart as an evangelist. So he gets up before his sheep and he urges them to repent, to get saved, so that they can become sheep. And every Sunday, that's the message God laid on his heart. Repent, get saved. It's a good message, but it's not necessarily what the church needs. So he's forced to exercise his gifts in a place that may not fit. After a period of time, he kind of recognizes, you know what? I'm just not connecting with this body. I'm just not connecting. It's not going so well. So what does he do? He tries to modify his message, change who he is. But you know what? That doesn't go so well either, because God's gifted him as an evangelist. And soon the constant pressure of trying to be something that God didn't intend for him to be wears him down. And he finally resigns. And we say another person in ministry resigned because of burnout. Are you with me? You know, the ordination certificate will not change him into a pastor. And I guess I just want to encourage us this morning, as we think about adding someone to the team, that we get the right gifts at the right spot. The right gifts at the right spot. I'm not going to read Ephesians 4. If I had time, you can make a note on this, those who are taking notes. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. God gives gifts for the church. It's his church. He gives the gifts to accomplish his will. And he gives a variety. The gifts for the body are all represented in the body. He gives the gifts, and he fits them together for the benefit of the body. But we can't change people from what God created them to be and make them something else. When we try to be something we're not, it's downright exhausting. We must give people the freedom to be faithful to who God called them to be. So what should we be looking for? As you think and pray about adding someone to the team, what should you be looking for? What will this person be doing? What are his responsibilities? What characteristics or giftings do you want to see in this brother for this position of deacon? If you could put the job description on the overhead, I'd appreciate it. But as I thought about what are the gifts, what are we looking for, I thought it would be helpful just to look at this job description that has been put together. And excellent. Someone has done a lot of work. I say someone, I know who that was, and it was not just one person. But did a lot of work in putting together this position description. And I think it's excellent. But I thought, what? Let's just take a look at this morning as a body and say, okay, if this is the position description, what are we looking for? And I'm just going to go over this kind of quickly. You're not going to read the whole thing. But under the accountability, it says the deacon deacon or deacons shall be part of the pastoral team and accountable to the leadership team. So deacons shall be a part of the pastoral team. First thing that stands out to me, team player. You're going to need a team player. And accountable to the leadership team. A team player who's going to be accountable. We say, is that a given today? No, not necessarily. That stood out to me under as I just read the very beginning of this. And then office to be filled by, dropping down to number two, persons who have been members of the congregation for 2 years will be eligible to receive nominations. You say 2 years, why do we do that? Why do we put 2 years there? Well, that's so that you get the privilege, you get the opportunity to know this person, to know his giftings, to know who he is. I'll go down to the qualifications part on 1 Timothy 3:8 to 13. A deacon must be a member who has professed Jesus Christ as Savior and is led by the Holy Spirit. Relationship with God, it's a must. Led by the Holy Spirit living. Number two, a deacon must live a life of honesty, integrity. Also in his finances, honesty and integrity. A deacon must have good interpersonal relationship skills. In other words, someone who's good at working with people. Maybe someone we describe as a people person. Good interpersonal relationship skills. The next one, a deacon must have a clear testimony before the Christian and non-Christian communities. So not only within the church, but outside the church. How is this brother known? What do people say about him? What do they say as far as his employment? What is his testimony? A deacon must have clear testimony. And then the fifth one, a deacon and his deacon and his wife must be persons of and committed to confidentiality. Someone who's committed to confidentiality. Extremely important. When you look at the role of what this brother is going to be doing, confidentiality is a must. If you have concern about this brother, maybe as you process names that God lays on your heart, and as you think about that, and you think, man, is this a person that would keep things in confidence? Because he's going to be working in very, very sensitive areas. Now we're only getting to the responsibilities. Number one there, remain in touch with physical and financial needs of the congregation. Remain in touch. Another way of saying that, know what's going on. Somebody who's going to know what's going on. He's going to be in touch with the physical and financial needs of the congregation. Maybe someone, we would say, has radar, or he's aware of what's happening around him. Also, someone who loves people. The second one there. We'll have a discretionary spending limit from the benevolence fund. But discretionary spending, you know what? You're going to need to be able to have somebody you can trust. Again, trust. He's going to get in there and assess the need. He's going to look at that need, that financial need. Somebody that you have trust in that's going to do the right thing. He's going to use some common sense wisdom. Dropping down to three. Be the leadership team representative to the finance committee. There we are again. Team. Can't get away. Team. Someone who's going to be a team player. Someone who works well with others. Sometimes I wish I could say that as I get involved and I work with ministry teams, that is always a given. That everyone, the team, understands what it is to be a team player. I need to confess to you that sometimes I see some situations where that's not always the case. And that creates major problems on a team. Someone who's going to be a team player. Mentor, number four, mentor and work with people financially. Mentor, work with people financially. Be in contact with the missionary support teams regarding the financial needs of missionaries. And oh, by the way, if he has any time left, number six, he can assist in counseling, visitation, and preaching. Thought I'd at least hear an amen out of Urban back there. Again, good job description. I really like what you have done in laying this out. General related guidelines and practices. Stay in touch with the cell group leaders regarding physical financial needs within the group. Work in conjunction with cell group leaders to plan fundraising opportunities. So you know what? Somebody's going to be a planner. Somebody that can look ahead, see what needs to be done, and move forward with it. Be aware of the needs of those incapacitated with illness or injury. Be aware of the needs of the widows or widowers in the congregation. Give a monthly report to the finance committee and the leadership team. Again, I go over this just to remind us, here's what this person is going to be doing. So let's make sure that as God lays a name upon your heart, that we're getting those kinds of gifts at the right spot. There are people here this morning that are extremely gifted. God has given various gifts throughout this body. Men that are extremely gifted have a passion to serve God. But does the gifting match what we're looking for, what you are looking for here as we think about deacon? Someone you can trust. Someone who can get in there and assess the need. Someone who's good at handling money. Someone working in various places of needs. He's going to need to be described as a person of wisdom and discernment. Teamwork, we talked about that. Working in conjunction, a planner, people person. Knows what's going on around him. He's aware. Now, maybe this would be the place just to say that whoever is called to this, just want to tell you right up front, he cannot walk on water. Be aware of that. Sometimes we expect so much from our men in ministry that I say, you know what, if you could only walk on water yet, and I say that tongue in cheek, because there is no one perfect for this role. If you're trying to find someone perfect, none of us are perfect. No one in leadership is perfect. But these should be things to contemplate and to think about and consider as God would lay a name on your heart. Thank you. You can take that off. Do you see the importance of getting the right gifts at the right spot? How important that is. If we get the wrong gifts, the wrong person for this position, and you try to make him something that God didn't intend for him to be, it's not going to go so well. Okay. Kind of a burden on my heart as I lay that out, and I don't think we do a good enough job of helping our congregations and thinking about the gifts needed for the various functions within the church. Turn with me in your Bibles, to Acts chapter 6. We're going to look at the first six verses here. And of course, this is the early church as it was growing by leaps and bounds. And they had challenges as they were growing. I'm going to just read this. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Verse 3. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Verse 5, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, or Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch." Verse 6, "whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them." And verse 7, "And the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." So here we see the church was growing by leaps and bounds. And you know, whenever the church is growing, whenever God is doing something good, Satan's right there to try to hinder the work and slow the forward progress. His tactics, you know what, haven't changed much today. It says there was a murmuring. This morning, the questions on the board, there was a good question about that, and I didn't write it down. But are we guilty of murmuring, and how do we get a handle on that? And then thinking about the Sunday school lesson. But there was a murmuring, there was a grumbling. The word here, it's the same attitude the children of Israel had back in the desert. What was the problem? Of course, we know that there was two groups of widows in the church. There were the Greek-speaking group of widows, the Jewish Christians. And the other group was Hebrew-speaking Jewish Christians. So we had the Greek and the Hebrew-speaking Jewish Christians here in this fellowship. And they had a distribution to help with the needs. Now, we don't know, was it financial? Was it food? We don't necessarily know that. But the Greek-speaking Jewish Christians were somehow being overlooked. Probably wasn't intentional, but they were being overlooked. And they bring this need. They bring this to the apostles to say, hey, this isn't right. People are being neglected in our fellowship. We need to do something. Now, you know what happens many times today? The present leadership team will say, you know what? Let's get in there and let's figure it out and let's make it happen. And they'll add one more thing, one more responsibility to their already full list. They didn't do that. They said, no, wait a minute. Let's take a step back here. If we give ourselves to work with these widows and solve these problems, you know, first and foremost, God called us to preach, to pray, and to preach the word. And if we try to do that yet, that's going to get in the way of what God has really called us to do. So they said, let's appoint some men that can take this and solve this dilemma. But I find it interesting that today, many churches, those in leadership, will say, well, we'll do this yet. Let's see if we can take this on ourselves. And you know, I do want to point out here, were they saying that they were too good to serve tables, to take care of the needs? No, that's not what they were saying. That was not below them to do that. But they said, if we take that on, that will interfere of us preaching the word. As ministers, they were primarily called to preach and teach and study and pray. So they concluded that they needed to add more help. We need to find more men who are willing to serve. And the Greek word for serve in this text is the one from which we derive the term deacon. Verse 3. Here's what they said. They said, you know what? Okay, let's take this need and let's seek out. Therefore, brethren, seek out. Here was the response. Seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. The first words that stands out to me in this passage is, therefore, brethren, seek out. You know that seek out is an action word. It's a verb. The King James, I believe, uses the word look ye. In other words, seek out, look ye. Look around. Inspect, seek out men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Look around, inspect, seek out. God has entrusted you as a congregation to seek out, to discern God's choice through the leading of His Holy Spirit. The next phrase there, seek out where? From among you. You know, I'm thankful that in our circles, in our Anabaptist circles, for the most part, that we are used to seeking out leaders from within. But you know, a lot of churches across the country, it's not that way. So a pastor comes out of seminary, and he goes before a board, and they say, okay, yes, we're going to hire you, and you're going to be the pastor of our church. And he comes in there, and then, of course, because he's getting paid to do that job, and he went through the board, all the gifts that we talked about that are needed in the fellowship, everybody needed, guess who does them? Tries to do it, the pastor. And I don't think that plan came from God. But I'm thankful that in our circles, we are used to, for the most part, trying to find leaders, identifying from within. It would be my prayer that we never take that for granted. And what a privilege within a fellowship to have many men, many gifts that could fill this role. But seek out from among you someone from within. You know, someone from within knows the people, knows the congregation, knows the community. Then he goes on, seek out from among you seven men. The first thing that I noticed there is we're going to look at these three a little closer. Good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and wisdom. Look for someone with a good reputation. The King James uses the wording honest report. In other words, seek out someone with a track record. Someone who is already serving God. Already being faithful with the responsibilities that God is giving him. Sometimes in church life, I'll put it over on this illustration. But sometimes in church life, I'm thinking of a situation where this couple, they say they feel so called to be on the mission field. And God has called us to the mission field. And yet, they're not lifting a finger in the home congregation. And yet, if they get on the mission field, they're going to flip a switch. And then somehow, they're going to be faithfully serving God. I've not seen that to work out so well. But someone who is already active, somebody who's already serving God, someone with a good reputation. Reputation speaks to how they lived and who they are. Someone who has already done something. That's reputation. Not a novice. Now, a novice, that doesn't mean that a novice would be biblically, say that there would be reasons that it says not a novice because of that very thing. He's a novice. He hasn't built a reputation yet. He hasn't worked. He's a novice. He's new to the faith. He's young. Not a novice. I talked about the giftings earlier. And just to remind us again, the licensing service or the ordination service will not be the beginning of who he will become tomorrow. It will most likely be a continuation of who he was yesterday. He needs to have a track record. This will qualify some and disqualify others when you look at who they were yesterday. So, seek out from among you men of honest report, good reputation, someone who already has a track record, someone with a good reputation, not only within the church, but outside the church as well, in the community. We talked about that earlier. God will call someone who is gifted, able to carry out the work of deacon, but also someone who will work well with the present team. Someone who will be a team player. Reputation comes out of godly character. Amen? Reputation comes out of godly character. And I believe Stephen and Philip and the other men called were men of godly character. They were men of good report, good reputation. They had a track record. It was evident that they were faithfully serving God. They walked with God and were already, I believe, using their gifts in the church. You know, today, maybe through Encourage Men, we use the term authentic manhood. Okay, we're familiar with that term, I think, in our circles. You know, what about authentic living, authentic Christianity? I believe these men would be described as authentic Christians. Authentic living bears witness to truth and it impacts others. Authentic living, authentic Christianity bears witness to truth and it impacts others. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you men of good reputation who have a track record, honest report. What's the next thing we see here? Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. The person that you would pick for this role should be someone that would be described as Holy Spirit living, walking with God, living by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit. You know, we can tell if someone is Spirit-filled by examining if they are Spirit-controlled. Romans 8, 9 says, you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. And again in the New Testament, we're told, be controlled by the Spirit of God, to walk by the Holy Spirit, and to exhibit the fruits and the actions of the Holy Spirit. Look ye, seek out men who are Holy Spirit controlled. And my time is really moving rapidly. I'm not going to take the time to turn to Ephesians, but you can write these verses down, Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. But in these verses, talks about those who are filled with the Spirit and gives us a picture of what Spirit-filled living looks like. One of the evidences or sign of a Spirit-filled person is they have a melody in their heart. They're happy people. They're the kind of people that you want to be around. They're happy people. They have a happy heart. A deacon without a melody in his heart, a deacon that is not that you would describe as a happy person, not going to work out so well, is it? No. But a happy person, free of guilt, clear conscience, they're happy. In these verses, in Ephesians there, verse 20, in Ephesians 5, 20 says, giving thanks always to all things to God. A Spirit-filled person is a thankful person. They're thankful. They're thankful for what they have. Thankful for the way that God blessed them. But they're also thankful for the way God blesses others. They're not the kind of people that are going to look at somebody who has maybe more than they do and wish they had it. A Spirit-filled person is a thankful person. They're thankful to God. Thankful for the way that God has blessed them. Thankfulness involves contentment. Content with what they have and content with what others have. In verse 21 there in Ephesians 5 says this, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Holy Spirit people respond in the right way to the authorities in their lives. They would be persons that you would describe as they come under authority. You want to be choosing a man who has a track record of coming under authority. It's a characteristic of being Spirit controlled. You choose people who are under authority so they know how to lead when they're in authority. So back to Acts chapter 6 here. Good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, to whom we may appoint over this business. The person that you are seeking out will also need to be a person of wisdom. Good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. The person that you are seeking out will need to be a man of wisdom. Now, I don't believe wisdom here is talking here just. I don't believe that wisdom here is just speaking to spiritual wisdom, but speaking to common sense wisdom. Wisdom in the practical affairs of life. Common sense wisdom. The wisdom spoken about here is not represented by scholastic degrees. It has less to do with dealing with knowledge and a lot more to do with dealing rightly in working with people. When you think about a person of wisdom, this new deacon, the person that's going to be called out, it's the person you're going to call to say, hey, you know what? Could you help me? Give me your opinion on this. I have to make this decision. And what would you do? Could you help me? It's going to be the kind of wisdom, the kind of person that you're going to seek advice for, that you're going to seek counsel from, that you're going to be quick to call to say, hey, you know what? What should this look like? What should I do here? That's the kind of person, a person with wisdom. Someone you would go to for advice. Wisdom, if this person is going to be an influencer for the kingdom, he must be characterized by wisdom. James 3 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Wisdom also involves wisdom in finances. We talked about that earlier. Someone who has a track record of managing his own finances well, if he's going to speak into other situations regarding finances. As you seek out, as you think about this, as you seek out whom God would choose for this position, seek out someone from among you who is connected, already a part of what's happening. They know what's going on. They have the vision and the heartbeat behind the church, with the church's positions and where the church is at. Sometimes I say it this way, dyed-in-the-wool life fellowship people. Not someone on the fringes. Someone with good reputation, good report, a track record. Again, as you seek out whom God would choose, someone full of the Holy Spirit, has a melody in his heart, a thankful person, someone who knows what it is to be under authority, someone you would describe as a person of wisdom. 1 Timothy 3:11 says, "Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things." As you seek out, as God places a name on your heart for this brother, then I want you to think about his wife. How would you describe her? Is she a person of confidentiality? Is she reverent, honorable, worthy of respect? Not a negative person. Someone you would describe as temperate, trustworthy, reliable. If that's not the case, it may not go so well. In fact, it won't go well. There are men who may have the biblical qualifications for this role, for this position, but their wives may not. And you need to consider that. Another key that I see here in this passage, and that is in verse 4, is prayer. We will give ourselves continually to prayer. Prayer is just paramount in seeking God's face, his will, his choice. This whole process needs to be bathed in prayer. I shared earlier that we not take this for granted, that we not take this lightly, that, okay, we've done this before, you know, we kind of know how this works, and that we kind of coast through this process. Pray, seek God's face. I would encourage you, fast, pray, seek God's face in this process. And you know, when we seek God's will, God's choice, that we look to God to lay that on his heart, in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That means we do our best to keep man out of it. How do we keep man out of it? We don't talk to each other about who we think God may be calling. It's not a popularity contest. We talk to God. God, you give me a name. It says, after they prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them out. And look at the results in the early church. And in verse 7, "And the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." Wow. You see what happened to the church? The word of God spread. It'd be my prayer that by adding a deacon to this team, that we could look back at Life Fellowship and we could say, look how the word of God has spread. Look how the word of God has spread. And a great number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, in Willow Street, in Lancaster, because of adding to the team. And you know what? As other fellowships, churches, it says other priests were obedient to the faith. I believe as outside of the community, other leaders, they look in and see what happened and say, wow. And they become obedient to what God is doing. As you consider naming a brother for ministry, you will need to give serious thought to the qualifications that are given in God's Word. Our feelings need to give way to biblical qualifications. You will also want to give serious thought to the brother's gifts. Will his gifts be a fit for what is required in filling out this role? I believe there are on the, where your mailboxes are, I believe there's handouts with two-year members that you can pick up, as well as the process. Is it the 24th, I believe, Wednesday the 24th? Brother Elvin Ressler will be helping again. He was here the last time. He'll be sharing a shorter message that night, and we'll be taking the voice of the church. Lord willing, we will be having a licensing service on October the 5th. If you have any questions about this process, I would encourage you to talk to me. You can give me a call. You have my email address. You can talk to anyone on the ministry team here as well. May God bless you as a congregation as you seriously look at adding a deacon to the team here. Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you for this fellowship here, for Life Fellowship, Father, the way that you've brought these people together as believers. And Father, we thank you for the gifts that you have brought, the different building materials represented in this fellowship. And Father, I pray that as they seek your face, your ways, your will, and your choice for this brother, Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would lay on their hearts your will on this brother. Father, I pray that you would just protect this church as they go through this time of calling leadership. Father, I believe there's nothing more that Satan would like to do than to hinder this process. And Father, I just pray a hedge of protection around this fellowship, around each family. Father, that any kind of schemes, any kind of attacks from Satan would be in vain. And Father, again, we commit this process to you. We look to you to guide and direct us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, it's with confidence that we look to you. It's with assurance. We thank you for being our anchor, our rock. I pray that you would just continue to bless each person here. We talk about the different building materials, Father. Not everyone is called to be on the ministry team, but everybody's gift is extremely important. Father, so many building materials represent in this fellowship, and every person is so needed. I pray that you would continue to bless them. Use their gifts, everyone, for the furtherance of your kingdom. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.